everybody. How's it going? Happy Wednesday. Middle of the week. Hump week. Hump week. Hump day. Hump day. Not hump week. Unless, you know, maybe you're a camel. Maybe you are celebrating International Hump Week. You don't have to be a camel to do that. You could be some other things. That's not what this show's about, though. You can figure those out on the Discovery Channel if you want to look up other definitions of the word hump. Hope you're having a great week. I had a great weekend this weekend. Took in a lot of sports. It's Canadian Thanksgiving up here, okay? So I basically did Saturday. It was a bro day. I hung out with like three or four different guys. Went for a lift with my buddy JT. Crushed some lunch with him. Hung out with my buddy Con for a bit. Then we went to my buddy Keegan's. It was just bro day. I think it was National Bro Out Day. If it wasn't, it should have been. And it was a great Thanksgiving because we got to see UFC 229. And that was phenomenal. I'm going to get to that in a bit. And this show is going to be very sports oriented. I like to say orientated. I just feel like it's the natural way to go. Oriented. It's very sports oriented, not orientated. Wow. But I'm going to talk about the UFC 229. We're going to talk a little bit about football. Hawks had a great game this weekend. And despite the disappointing loss, I think there's a lot of excitement if you're a Seattle fan. And yes, I'm a Seattle fan. So I'm saying that because I'm desperately hoping that there's something better. We'll talk a little bit about baseball because the championship series is on the way. ALCS, NLCS. Who do we want to see? This is a great time of the year for sports, not to mention the NBA preseason. And if you're a hockey fan, guess what? NHL started up. So I have to admit, that's probably the bottom of my list, but I know there are a lot of hockey fans. I even watched a little hockey. And there was a great game between Chicago-Toronto on Sunday night. 6-5, overtime. Toronto win. Now, I'm a Chicago fan, but, you know, you do what you can. So, let's get things started. I wanted to talk about the UFC 229, and there was a lot of hoopla after it. A lot of controversy. For those of you guys that haven't watched it or heard about it, and for some reason are randomly listening to this show, I'll fill you in. I don't think there are. I think if you listen to this show, you probably have heard of this fight because you have to dig deep to find unnecessary noise. That thing was everywhere. Conor Khabib and Conor McGregor, the notorious Conor McGregor versus the undefeated Khabib Nurmagomedov. I think I said that right. I'm not 100% sure. But I'm going to break down what happened throughout the card, and then we'll talk a little bit about that. The fight between Khabib and Conor, and all the post-fight stuff, too. So, first of all, Derek Lewis had the best finish in a fight. I think he finished off Volkov and with 11 seconds left. And there were times in that fight that it seemed like if it was going to go to a decision, it would have gone to Volkov. I thought there were moments where Volkov, for the most part, looked like he had control of the match. There was even some good sportsmanship stuff there where it was some weird stuff with the eye. Like he was worried he'd poked Derek Lewis in the eye. And he was telling the ref to call a timeout. And then Herb Dean was like, why are you calling a timeout? You can't do that. You're not the ref. I'm the ref. I don't know. I thought it was great. Derek Lewis's post-fight interview, where he takes off his shorts, he takes off his pants in the middle of the ring. Why'd you take off your pants, Derek? Joe Rogan asks. Ah, my balls are itchy. Or my balls are sweaty. Or something like that. Something about his balls. It was amazing. Then, Joe, what am I going to do? A couple weeks? 1 week? 2 weeks? I want to come on your show. I'm going to smoke some weed. Yeah. Then I was talking to Donald Trump. It was a great post-fight interview. I'm not going to redo it as well as he did. So just look up Derek Lewis post-fight interview with Joe Rogan. And I thought that this was a good comeback thing for Derek Lewis. Obviously, it's worked out really well for him, as now he is the main event in UFC 230 against Daniel Cormier at Madison Square Garden in a month. Now, that's prepping for a title fight in a month is pretty Derek fast Lewis, now.
I mean, he just finished
right?
that.
I mean,
this
they were struggling. And now he's got less
UFC
than a month to train.
Just
for an extra two rounds
that,
against the world champion,
Daniel
world
Poirier?
Heavyweight
no,
champion,
not Cormier.
In Daniel Cormier. But since the Dustin Poirier Nate Diaz fight fell through, they were hurting for some star power on that Madison Square Garden main event. And we'll get to that. Like I said, we'll get to that one in a moment. Especially with all the controversy on the fact that Stipe Miocic is a little chirped, is a little perturbed that he didn't get a rematch. But we'll talk about that later. Also wanted to talk about a couple of the other fights on the UFC 229 card. Dominic Reyes, who beat OSP, looks exactly like Colin Kaepernick, doesn't he? Tony Ferguson, El Cucu, also KO'd Anthony Pettis, which I thought was a great fight. And that one was the fight of the night, if you're going to score it. Anthony Pettis was savage in there. Tony was great. They both just looked scrappy. And there were some blood spilled. That might have been one of the goriest fights I've seen in UFC history. He caught him with a couple of those elbows. Ferguson caught Pettis and hit him in the right splot. That's what was happening. That was the sound effect of the blood hitting the canvas. And yeah, it was a violent, brutal fight. And El Cucu took it home. He also ended up doing one of the weirdest promos, post-fight interviews I've ever seen. And sorry, not post-fight, post-event press conference interviews. He started talking about his 401k and how he was going to clean up the sport. I honestly thought at one point during his press, and I know he was trying to fill time, I bet you somewhere along the lines they said, Tony, look, we need you to do us all a big solid and go on a ramble because we're still trying to figure out what happened with the Khabib Conor thing. And if you could just go and take up some time and just go on a tear. I've heard you've been working on some material for maybe some corporate speaking events as like some sort of motivational speaker. And, you know, he kind of went off on it. I think he ran with it. It was a lot of, oh, you know, I'm going to take this. I got my 401k. I'm cleaning up the sport. I'm taking care of me. And like, it was 20 minutes of the same thing. Just regurgitating the fact that he was cleaning up. He was taking care of business. He's on his way. He doesn't care who he runs through. It was a long promo. And I gotta be honest, I dug about probably maybe 5 minutes of it. And then afterwards, you're still kind of wanting to see what Dana White come in and address what was happening. And that's the thing. It was a long time between post press conference and the event being over and the post-fight press conference. Who else was on there? I wanted to talk about even the first fight of the night, Michelle Waterson and Felice Herrig. That was a fun one. Everything on this card, start to finish, was a lot of fun. So I wanted to say there's overall just a good card. And so now I'm going to talk about the main event, Conor McGregor versus Khabib. We knew going in that Conor hadn't fought in 2 years. And I had thought, when I heard this fight being announced, I couldn't help but think about Ronda Rousey coming back to fight Holly Holm. And I mean, even Rousey hadn't even had that much time off. She just had a lot on her plate. Connor has not fought in the UFC for 2 years. And yeah, he had the whole thing with Floyd Mayweather. So he was essentially training in another sport. Because if you don't think boxing's different than the UFC, you're grossly mistaken. Especially with a guy like Khabib, who's a wrestler. So you take a year off to focus on your striking, and all the while, Khabib's training. He's 27-0-0. The last fight you fought was at, I think it was Alvarez, and you won that one. But really, if you think about it, I would contend that at this weight, Connor has only really won one fight. Because the Diaz, and I get it, you can argue that he did. They count the Diaz 2, Connor versus Diaz 2, his rematch with Nate, as a win. But Nate doesn't count it as a win. I think if they go an extra round, judges don't count it as a win either. I think that if you look at it, those last three, that third round could go either way. Connor had no gas. He was strong in the first two, got gassed mid-third, and then Diaz took over. So, when I watched this fight, he didn't look light on his feet. At least that's what I'm coming at. And I'm not a fight expert. I'm new in the game. But I've been watching a lot of it. From what I have seen of the sport and what I'm fascinated by, it seemed like Khabib just was able to find his spots, get him down, and choke him out. Eventually he did. There was some stuff. I was surprised, again, Connor lasted a bit. You know, he was able to defend after a while, but the gas tank ran out. And I think that's the thing we've always seen. Working on that cardio, he gets tired. He's got to pop you in the early rounds right now, and that's always been the case. And I'm just regurgitating what I've heard, combination with what I've seen. But if that's the consensus, I think that there's a reason for that as well. We've seen it, you know. Look at all his big wins. So I wonder if, and this is just speculation, would he do better dropping back down? Or do you then have to worry about the cut? Is it that much more difficult? I mean, he looked in great shape when he came in. I just think when you watch Khabib, it's like watching a boa constrictor swallow like a rabbit or something. Just the way Khabib is able to grapple you and lock the person's legs in and then throw punches as he's got the guy's legs tied together. It's gross. Like I said, it's a giant python or some sort of boa constrictor or a snake just mounting and swallowing like a rat or an egg or, you know, you gotta just see it. Yeah, no, it was intense, and Connor fought it off as long as he could. Like I said, I think not only did he fight, the big surprise was not only did Khabib take him out in the ground game, but the biggest pop of the night was that knee, and I think it was a knee that knocked Connor down. It's been a couple days since I've talked about this. Like I said, I was in turkey coma for two. But yeah, no, that was the fight. And that was the fight. He ended up getting choked out. And then comes the aftermath. The melee, the controversy, and Khabib then throwing his mouth guard, jumping over the fence, doing what is like a mistletoe drop kick to what's-his-face, Dylan Danis, Connor's cornerman. And again, this whole thing was, there's a big scrap. Khabib's purse was withheld. There's a couple of Khabib's guys jumped in the ring, started swinging. And again, It was it overall it was pretty intense, pretty crazy end to the night. I mean, you had Robert Kraft there in the first three rows. You had Rory McIlroy, and you had, who else do you have? You had Chris Pratt. You had the governor of Nevada. You had tons of people. There was a plethora of people. And then you're watching Daniel Cormier calm down. What was it? Calm down Khabib. I just wanted to say, like, the sun's going down, big guy. The sun's going down. Right? You know, it's okay. What's that? Sky's getting dark. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever they do to calm the Hulk down. It was crazy. I thought overall, though, it just seemed pointless to go into the crowd. I get it. You're hot. The guys talked a lot of crap. Is it necessary? Like, and don't get me wrong. As a fan, I loved it. As a fan, I don't care. I was pumped. A lot of people are like, ugh, it's a black eye for the sport. No, it's not. You know, the same people that are arguing that this is a black eye for the UFC and that this is awful and this is, you know, they're the same guys that love watching the hockey fights. Or, you know what, we'll watch when a baseball brawl breaks out. But because this is the UFC, you know, we're supposed to somehow think that that's not supposed to ever happen. Fights break out. Emotions are high, especially in fighting. You know, people don't like each other, and there was a lot of trash talked in these fights. So, yeah, you know what? And like I said, it adds to the drama, it adds to the storyline. Good Lord, they showed that bus footage, like, all throughout the promotion. So that fueled the flames a little bit. And I thought that when all came down to it, again, should we be trash talking? Yeah, you know what? Trash talking happens in every sport. Okay? It's just what it is. That's what happened. Look at Twitter. That's all. I'm pretty sure that's what Twitter's for. That and hashtagging stupid days, like National Cheeseburger Day or National Star Wars Day, May the 4th or whatever. You know, it's for little back and forths that can be done publicly. And you know what? Or maybe we just do it in a public forum now anyway. It's part of the show. It's part of the spectacle. Again, it was really interesting listening to Ariel Helwani on Dan Patrick talking about how they backed off. What was it? The UFC backed off from the fight so we couldn't see what was happening. And then Nevada State Athletic Commission, like I said, they've suspended both fighters for 10 days to see what has happened. Turns out Connor actually took the first swing at one of Khabib's cornermen or somebody, and then the two guys just started beating him up. Now, if you're Connor, I think you kind of have to understand, you see someone going after these guys, and then your corner men, and then guys are jumping in the ring. You're coming down from a fight. You don't know what's happening right now. I think he was still part. There's a part of me that thinks he's probably still just regaining consciousness. But yeah, obviously, there are probably better ways to handle that situation. But you know what? The UFC media team was loving it. They were having a field day. Don't think for a second. Yeah, Dana White's acting mopey. This is going to be serious. I had my buddies. It was so funny. I had my friends, and I got to be honest, sometimes they can get a little markish, you know. And they're like, oh, man, this is some serious. He could get a lifetime ban. I doubt it. I'm doubting it. I don't see it. Connor didn't get a lifetime ban. Yeah, it was at an event. He didn't attack Connor after the bell. It was a fight outside of it. There was look at Malice in the Palace. They go back to that one. I think there's like Reggie Miller had an event. He was talking about it on Dan Patrick. where the Pacers just start fighting members of the audience. And even then, they were able to come back and play. I think there was a season gone by. Definitely there's going to be some sort of suspension handed out. But if you're fighting once or twice a year, who cares? I'm curious to see how much he gets fined. Connor's still got... Connor says I think they made about $50 million off this. All the... And Connor says that's what he's doing, which is great. I mean, the crazy thing is, though, in many ways, doing that, jumping over that fence, made Khabib a household name. And don't think that he's not anymore. Okay? He is absolutely a household name. Before this, some Khabib guy, you'd hear like, oh, who's Conor fighting next? It was always, who's Conor fighting next? Now, we don't know Khabib's last name. It's kind of like Ichiro. People never realized Ichiro's last name was Suzuki. And that's partially because he put Ichiro on his on the back of his jersey because so many people were named Suzuki in Japan. So he always put Ichiro. And it was fine. But I think that, yeah, no one is going to remember Nabagnomenov, so we just call him Khabib. But yeah, he's now, everyone knows who Khabib is, and that jump is, I think Joe Rogan sent out a tweet, or was it a tweet or Instagram, iconic, and I couldn't agree more. I think that, it's fantastic. So, again, I'm fascinated by the story. This is unscripted television. And yeah, as a pro wrestling fan, all I'm thinking too is, you know, as a mark myself, I'm thinking I'm coming at this from a Smarks perspective, the way you would book the WWE. And if I'm looking at this, Khabib's had a bit of a heel turn. Heel means bad guy, kind of. So you book him, but you book him as kind of the undisputed monster right now of the lightweight division. Yeah. In the meantime, so he's serving out a suspension. You could probably have a fight between Connor and Tony Ferguson, Connor and Anthony Pettis. Yes, he's going to, I'm sure Connor gets a rematch. It's going to do pay-per-view buys, but I don't... Realistically, I don't think that's what people want to see right away. I think, you know, everyone wanted to see McGregor Diaz 3 right away, right after the McGregor Diaz 2. But I don't think that people want to see that didn't happen. And I don't think people want to see this because, you know, you looked at those four rounds and it seemed like while Conor got some stops, he looked a little flat. He looked a little rusty, and Khabib was just overpowering. I think I want to see Conor take a couple wins from a few top contenders before he goes back on that journey. That's just me saying that. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think that you could probably squeeze one more McGregor fight out of that thing before he goes and hits Diaz or hits Diaz 3, which, I mean, there's always going to be that question because they each have one. You have that rubber match in the back pocket there. And then I want to see him get back to some sort of form because really you've got two losses right now too. You've got the Mayweather loss. You've got this one. He's got Eddie Alvarez, which was a great fight for Conor. He looks strong in that. But then you have the controversial Diaz thing. So that all being said, I know there's kind of a lot to unravel there, and I hope my thoughts were somewhat coherent. I kind of jump around on this thing. It's a big cluster of gong show-ness. Yeah, so let's talk about UFC 230 real quick. Dustin Poirier dropped out. Poor Nate Diaz. We want to see Nate Diaz fight. I love him. I equate him to Benicio Del Toro in The Usual Suspects. Nah, man. What do you mean? I love listening. I could listen to Nate Diaz talk all day. It's good. So I think it's going to be a tough turnaround. They announced that Daniel Cormier is fighting Derek Lewis for the heavyweight championship belt. Tough turnaround for Lewis, especially since Derek Lewis had a bad back all match. You could see it. And he's had a bad back for a while. He had one in against Ngannou. And that was, if you guys didn't watch that fight, that was the one. So Daniel Cormier hasn't fought since he knocked out Stipe Miocic. Derek Lewis and Francis Ngannou were the co-main event on that fight. Derek Lewis just had another fight. So he's had one more in there. And so he's going to be a little more burnt out. Not only that, but this is short notice for Derek Lewis. I mean, Daniel Cormier's probably been training. I'm hoping he has been. I think he's been training for Brock, though. And I'm thinking that if he fights in November for the heavyweight championship, then you could argue he's putting Brock maybe May, June. Because I don't think he cuts light for light heavyweight anytime soon. Right? Are we in that agreement? Also, where's Stipe Miocic in this? I know he tweeted out a couple things. He wasn't happy that he got left out of this decision. Why doesn't he get a rematch? I'm in agreement with him. I think for certain things. I think Stipe Miocic is a great heavyweight champion. I thought that he did get caught, and it would be interesting to see what would happen again. But I also think that they are capitalizing on the fact that Derek Lewis is a bit of a celebrity right now. The world has found out he's a bit of a character. His Instagram's hilarious. I think he just recently posted something to his Instagram talking about, what was it? It was a promo for the fight coming up. And it was like Daniel Cormier eating Popeye's chicken, and just, it was weird. It was weird, and it was hilarious, and it was awesome. So Derek Lewis, this is like Derek Lewis's coronation, his coming out party kind of thing. Like, congratulations, Derek. You made it. And Miocic, I don't know why he never became a household name. And he was more of your blue collar heavyweight champion. That's not to say that he's not going to get another shot down the road, because that guy can knock out fools like nobody's business. But he's still, I think isn't he still a firefighter? He's just a good guy. But I don't think the UFC is built around good guys right now. I think it's built around, for lack of a better term, Richard Sherman style personalities. You want, because I'm drawn to that. I want the WWE style promo, not WWE style, WWF, because the WWE stinks when it comes to cutting promos. And I want to see somebody say, I'm the best at what I do. I'm the best corner in the game. I'm the best in the world. I will destroy you. You ain't got nothing. I'm ready to see awesome promos. And I want to see that, because that gets me hyped for the fight. If I'm invested in the character. And right now, the guy that the day of the athlete that that puts on his work boots, does his 9-to-5 and goes home, unfortunately just isn't cutting it as much. And like I said, I'm a big Stipe fan. I think he's cool. I think when he turns it on, as far as charisma, I think he's got it. But I just don't think they want him right now. His fire's kind of cooled. And since he's off TV, that's another thing. We are reminded that Daniel Cormier is the heavyweight champ whenever he goes and does color commentary with Joe. Now, Dominic Cruz was doing color this past week, And I wonder if it's because Daniel was like, I got to start going to camps. And I also, we know that him and Chael have been training. Chael's talked about this. So it'll be really interesting to see. As for Nate Diaz, I'm hoping he gets another fight. I'm hoping he gets something because I really want him in that main event. Or in that co-main. So are you going to have three co-main events now? Because don't they have another one? UFC 230. I'm curious to see. So you've got... Oh, wow. So they completely dropped... I thought they were going to have a women's match. Title bout. Was it Valentina Shevchenko versus Sajara Eubanks? And that has been canceled. So the flyweight... There's been a ton of cancellations on this fight. So Eubanks versus Shevchenko, canceled. Namajunas, Janjicic, canceled. They were going to have another match between Janjicic, and that's because she got popped. That's right. Rumor is, allegedly, Joanna Janjicic has got popped for some sort of substance. I don't know if that's true or not. Anyway... That's interesting. So, UFC 230, going to be good. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for Bellator. I love how Bellator is now on DAZN. I love DAZN right now. Just awesome. DAZN, I'm hoping, gets more and more stuff. If they could get the NBA, I'd be pumped. Right now, it's the NFL, and it's Bellator. And then it's like cricket and darts, and then you get the MLB network with the occasional game. But if they could get NBA, oh, that'd be sweet. I'm excited. See LeBron in a Laker jersey. Little Golden State action. It'd be fun. I'd be excited. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to wrap it up today. I want to keep it short. I'm going to talk. I promise I'll talk about football and baseball, but let's keep this one to UFC. I wanted to get this one out of the way. We'll talk some baseball, some postseason maybe tomorrow, and talk about the upcoming football week. Lots of good stuff. That's it. Tweet me at TJ Tulloch or Instagram at TJ Tulloch. That's it. I'm out. Baba Booey. Peace.